Please pray with me. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. This is such a familiar passage from the gospel. Probably you have heard humpty number of times. So I would like to set a context for our gospel reading today. This is not about the sun. And in fact, Jesus preached or told this parable to Sadducees and Pharisees, the Jewish crowd that they are in. So, and there are three parables which are connected to each other in chapter 15. The first one is about the sheep. The second one is about sheep has sense. Sheep has life but no sense. The second is about the collection of coins, had no sense, no life. And the third one is about the sun. But I want us to focus not so much on this, but rather on the shepherd, the woman, and the father. You see, when Jesus chose a shepherd to look for a sheep. Now, all these three are three different kinds of people he was talking about. And interestingly, Jesus chose a woman to search for that which had no life and no sense. So it was a woman that can go into the places that men cannot go, right? Woman can go into places where men cannot go. I'll give you an example. We had a Muslim village, and one of the women had this vision that God spoke to her to go and start a school in this Muslim village. As you know, Muslim men do not want their girls to go to school. So when she started the school, they came and threatened that they will kill her, and she didn't know what to do. She was true to her calling, and then she prayed and prayed, and she had this revelation. In the Islam religion, there is a festival called Festival of Rakhi. It's called sacred thread. So if a woman ties this sacred thread to a man, that man becomes her brother. So in Islamic religion, the purpose of the brother is to protect the sister. So on the day of the festival of Rakhi, she went around the village and tied the sacred thread to all the men in the village. And the following day, she started the school. They didn't know what to do now. So women can do what men cannot do. Jesus chose a woman. And then here, Jesus told them the parable about a human being. Probably he was talking directly to the disobedient children. Now, I would like to draw four stages from his life, which some of us can identify with him. He had family living, dissolute living, worthless living, and transformed living. Let me ask you two questions. First, if your son, daughter, niece, nephew, or a brother, or a parent sometimes get lost, would you just sit at home? We'll be restless, right? We'll be just restless and posters all over and all that. But here, this father, almost like heartless, he was just sitting at home, waiting for him. The second question is, what would you do if your son or a daughter comes and says, give me my share? I don't know about you, I would say, get out of here. What share are you talking about? No share for you. You go and earn for yourself. Right? Especially in Western culture, Hawaii laws are also different. If your children are not part of your trust, the property doesn't automatically go to them. We know that. So, but in Eastern culture, it is true. Nowhere it has to be written. The moment parent sees, inheritance will go to the children. But the point here is, either it is elder son or younger son, both of them suffering from what we call a sense of entitlement. Sounds familiar? Sense of entitlement. I am entitled for my share, so give me. The other son, I live here and then I am taking care of everything, so everything that is left should be mine. The problem here is not obedience, not rebel. No, the problem really is a sin of entitlement. We all may be suffering from, as I said, I'm a Lutheran, therefore I'm entitled for some things, right? I'm a Christian, therefore I'm entitled. Or I live in Hawaii, therefore I'm entitled. There is a sense of entitlement. So the first living that he had was the family living. It's a beautiful family, father, two sons. I want to ask Jesus why he did not include mother, but this is the story. Probably some of you identify with him, where even if you live in an orphanage or foster parents, doesn't matter, as growing up, sitting together, eating together, a fellowship. How many of you can identify with that, with him? Family living. Because God essentially created a family, right? And God created a family. But then he wanted to leave the family. So here is the problem. The problem is, in Eastern culture, the identity is lost the moment I left the family. Because in Eastern culture, I belong, therefore I am. Whereas in our culture, I think, therefore I am. To push it further, in Eastern culture is known as the root culture. Doesn't matter where I am, they will ask me, what is your family name? Where are you from? Then they ask me, which street do you live? Yeah. Then they know, you know, they are trying to find out my roots. Because I have no identity outside my family. Whereas in the Western culture, it's not so much root, but it is roof culture. I am known by where I live, not where I come from. When people ask me, where are you from? I say, I'm from Hawaii. I am from Hawaii. It's been here. I have my own house. I'm a citizen. I'm from Hawaii. But then they push and say, but your accent is different. Then I'll say, you also have an accent. That's called American accent. Of course, then they say, where are you originally from? Oh, now we are talking. Yeah, I am originally from India. You see, so I am known by where I live in our culture. So he has all things set. He has a beautiful family. Now he wants to leave. He wants to lose identity. He wants to leave. So then he took his share. Father, gracious father, just gave everything. Good. And verse 13, he went into what we call dissolute living. From family living, he fell into dissolute living. That's where the word prodigal come from. I don't know why they called prodigal son. The fact of the matter is, if you want to prodigal, there are prodigal, not only prodigal sons and daughters, there are prodigal parents. There are prodigal teachers, right? But the word prodigal comes from the Latin word prodigus, which really means lavish, wasteful, careless, and foolish spending. That's what it means. Well, he received the property freely. Now he spent everything freely. Go figure, right? And how many of us here can identify with him? How many times you regretted for something you spent your money on? You could have avoided. I'm there. Definitely. For some things I'm still paying. Wasteful spending. Wasteful. Our culture is a culture of waste. Our culture is a culture of waste. How many times we abuse food, right? So look at our culture, how many times we use plastic again and again. So our culture is a culture of wasteful, and then all of us are, in a way, can identify with him in dissolute living. From dissolute living, as if it's not enough, he went into worthless living. That's where we see him near the pigs. Can you imagine for a Jewish boy to be near the pigs? Oh my goodness. That's the meanest he could ever get. That's the lowest he could ever think of being there in his life. And he says, I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired servants. Oh, my goodness. He thought he lost the sonship. Father didn't care about the property. He cared about the son. Now, this is where I encounter people who attempt suicide. They feel so worthless in their lives. They are filled with shame and fear, and they think they cannot come up in their lives. They cannot go back. Fear takes over the faith. Shame takes over the pride. Give you a story. I did not learn swimming as a kid, so I learned swimming as an adult in the town where I was working back in Vellore. In those days, there was only one swimming pool. I joined the swimming lessons. My swimming instructor, who goes to church occasionally, knows me as a pastor. So the problem is, I was not getting any instruction. So she comes to me and says, Pastor, you're doing okay. I was stuck on this 2 weeks and moving my feet and breathing. And she scolds other people. Do it like this, go there. And she was not teaching me. She, like, you know, out of respect, right? But it's not helpful to me. So thankfully, she was on vacation. So the boy who cleans the swimming pool, he stood at the 8 feet. And I was at 3 feet, and said, hey, you, come here. So I'm like, what? Come here. And I'm like, no, come here swimming. No, I got up, I went out of the swimming pool, ran to the 8 pool and said, what can I do? He said, now look at the ladder. Yeah, you hang on to the ladder. I'm going to put my foot on your head and push you gently. Oh, I was almost done. I'm almost like, oh, enough swimming lessons. He said, take a deep breath. And only when you touch the bottom of the swimming pool, you start releasing your breath slowly. And well, I told him I had no courage to do that. He said, no, I'm with you. You are not going to die. Trust me. Okay, I trusted him. I did that. See, the moment I touched the bottom of the swimming pool, I lost my fear. Just gone. I was coming out swimming. Never went back to the 3 feet level. No. When you touch the bottom of our lives, you know, there is nothing to go down. It's only to come up. Some of us could be there in our situations, either with our lives, with our stories, with our relationships. Doesn't matter. This guy is with money. He's gone. But for us, problems may be different. So when you touch the bottom of that, remember, there is somebody just like this guy. Trust me, God is telling us, trust me, it's okay. I'm here. If you can't come up, I'm still here. Because, ironically, he lost something which he was searching for. He was searching for freedom. Did he get the freedom? He lost the freedom. He thought there are so many rules in the family, but now he doesn't have anything. He wanted to be independent. He lost independence. He lost the sense of self-worth that he thought he had to begin with. See, our lives have no meaning without that connection, without that root to the father or mother, whomever you call God, the source of life. You know, I was telling that one of the things that as a kid, one of my favorite sports, even today I don't get to do it, is flying kites. Kites. My goodness. You know, in those days, what else do you do in the village where I grew up? We have no TV, no computer, no cell phones. There's nothing to do, right? Yeah. Those days, our kids also enjoyed rainbows. But these days, no. I had to tell, look, there is a rainbow. Oh, again? Yeah. Okay. And you see, often, when you reflect on the kite can go only as high as the string allows it to go. The moment kite thinks it's too cumbersome for me to hang on to the string, no, I want to have my freedom, the kite will lose the freedom. Kite is lost. Such is with our lives, and that's what happened to him. He had freedom, he had dignity, he had everything as long as he was within the family. See, that's why God's position never changes. It's a sin that separates us from God. Sin does not destroy the relationship. It destroys the fellowship. And that's what happened to him. No matter where he was, he could be with pigs, he could be with horses, he could be homeless, he could be anywhere. But the relationship with his father never changes. He's carrying the father's, mother's genes, the blood group. He can always go back. Isn't it true with us? Everyone can reject in this world. The only people that can always go back are the parents. Isn't it something? That's where you experience the unconditional love. That's why he decided, no, I'll come back. Now, I'll come back, I'll tell my dad, no, I lost my sonship, but now I will be your hired servant. So that's what called the transformed living. From family living, he went to dissolute living, to worthless living. Now, when he's coming back, he is experiencing the transformed living. For the Son of Man, for this Son of Mine, verse 24, was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and is found. They began to celebrate. I was really reading this, what the father was saying was mind-boggling. He didn't say he came back, thank God, no. He was dead, alive again. He was dead, alive again. See, when we are in Christ, we are dead to our sins. And it's a new creation, as Paul writes today in our epistle reading. It's a new creation. We are new beings. It's a second life. It's a transformed life. I want to read from one of the theologians, Frederick Buchner, who writes, the father says, the boy is back. That's all it matters. Who cares why he is back? The old man doesn't do what any other father under heaven would have been inclined to do. He doesn't say he hopes he has learned his lesson. Usually that's what we do, right? Or I told you so. He doesn't say he hopes he is finally ready to settle down for a while and will find some way to make it up to his mother. He just says, bring him something to eat for God's sake. Bring him some warm clothes to put on. And when the boy finally manages to slip his prepared remarks in edgewise, the old man doesn't even hear them. He is in such a state. All he can say is the boy was dead and is alive again. The boy was lost and is found again. And then at the end of the scene, what Jesus, as teller of the parable, says, they began to make merry. That's all it matters. So, my dear friends, when we come to this table, it's a celebration. It's a celebration. That's why it's called the Great Thanksgiving. Holy Communion. We commune with Christ. This is the banquet hall, if you want. And this is the banquet table. Well, the story says that they killed a fatted cow in celebration of his coming back. But Jesus died on the cross for us in celebration of our coming back. When we come back to the altar, God transforms our lives with grace and mercy. So we read in the book of Joshua, God telling them, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt. Today I rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt." What was the disgrace of Egypt? The disgrace of Egypt is living in the slavery of sin. Disgrace of Egypt is dissolute living, worthless living. And when they left the family living, God brought them back so that they can celebrate, because now that they are transformed. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. That's what the transformed life is all about. It's a new beginning with Christ. So, my dear friends, the banquet is ready. Are you ready to come? We will, by the grace of God. Amen.